Michigan Catholic Credit Union and Catholic Vantage Financial, or visit mycatholiccu.org. These credit unions are federally insured by the NCUA.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
It's a Friday morning, the very beginning of a brand new month. Thanks be to God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is a gift. I hope that you are doing well so far on this April 1st, 2011. Catholic Connection, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. This particular program with yours truly, that would be me, TT, is produced by Ave Maria Radio out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And coming up on the program today, we are absolutely delighted to have with us in just a second, as soon as we get him up on the line, Brian Patrick, of course, who is the host of another wonderful EWTN program, heard every morning right here on the Global Catholic Radio Network. And that, of course, is the Sunrise Morning Show with Brian Patrick. He'll be giving us a little tease of what to expect next week. Sister Ann Shields, love her. She's a well-known author. I know many of you do, too. Author, speaker, and she is going to be joining us. Of course, she also hosts Food for the Journey, which is produced by Ave Maria and heard on EWTN. She's going to be in studio with us this morning to talk about the big Lift Jesus Higher rally, which is coming up in Toronto. And what's interesting about this rally is that even though it is, of course, held in Canada, it brings people from not only across Canada, where we have many listeners, of course, but also across the United States. I spoke last year with Sister, and it was really a lot of fun because a lot of people did come up from New York and from Michigan and from other places not too far away. So it's very accessible, and Sister's going to tell us about it. And last year they had, I think, close to 5,000 people, and they also have a very large event for the youth, which is just terrific. So Sister Ann Shields will be in studio to tell us about that. And then we'll wrap up a Friday morning, and it's a very interesting discussion about health care and what's going on with our hospitals in light of what's going on in Washington. What does it mean for Catholic hospitals in particular? And we'll be joined by Leonard Nelson. And Leonard has authored a book that came out in 2009, a very interesting book, Diagnosis Critical, The Urgent Threats Confronting Catholic Healthcare. Now, today, he's actually speaking in Michigan for a regional conference put on by the Christus Medicus Foundation, which is drawing healthcare professionals from around the area, from Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Chicago, Illinois, and other places not too far away from Michigan, to really discuss these issues about what we're looking at with Obamacare and the fallout from that. So he'll be on the phone with us this morning from suburban Detroit, Leonard Nelson. And again, his book is Diagnosis Critical, The Urgent Threats Confronting Catholic Healthcare. And that was published by Our Sunday Visitor in 2009. So once again, we will have Brian Patrick, Sister Ann Shields, and Leonard J. Nelson. I do want to mention that next week, Ave Maria Radio has its spring membership drive. So we'll be having what we call best of programs. And I will be checking in from time to time, just to say hi to you, of course, during the week and to let you know how it's going. And just really ask for your prayers, not only for us, for Ave Maria Radio, but all of the Catholic Radio Apostolates, because this is the time of year that we do have our fundraisers. And, of course, Brian Patrick knows all about this because they just had one for Sacred Heart Radio. So it's really an important time for us. And as the host of one of the key programs, Brian and I or Al Cresta or whomever, we really have to do as much as we can during that time period to help raise awareness in our regions and you know, get support from our listeners. But you can always listen online to any of the programs, of course, and even during our membership drive, you can go to AveMariaRadio.net, and don't forget to check out EWTN, of course, at EWTN.com. Brian is on hold with us right now. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am well.
So your pledge drive is next week?
Next week, Monday through Friday, April 4th through the 8th. So keep us in your prayers.
I will. It's kind of bad timing for us at Sacred Heart Radio because as of Monday, we are moving you to your live slot at 9. We've been delaying you to 11. So we'll look forward to having you live right after the Sunrise Morning Show because we go locally, we go right up to 9 o'clock. So we're going to go back to back.
Oh, how fun will that be?
Definitely fun. How are you this morning?
I am well, sir. How are you?
Great. Do you know Debbie Herbeck?
Yes, I do very well, as a matter of fact.
She's going to be on with Doug Keck on EWTN Bookmark tomorrow. Her book, Safely Through the Storm, 120 mm-hmm. Reflections on Hope. She was with us in Birmingham some months ago with her husband, Peter, who is a member of our Crossing the Gold team, and I know that that's when they taped that show. And, you know, I've had several people come up to me in Miami recently and also locally. They say, you know, I didn't see you on Crossing the Gold this week. You know, I got stranded in the Detroit airport sometime back.
And those you're guys like, I feel your pain.
Four shows without me, but I'm still there. They didn't kick me out.
Well, Debbie's got a powerful testimony converting from Judaism, and what a great story. She actually spoke to a local Agadez chapter here not too long ago in Michigan, and I got to hear her story again. A phenomenal story. And I did see on the EWTN Wings, a newsletter that Michelle Johnson does so beautifully, I did see that she's going to be on Bookmark with Doug.
Yeah, she's a dynamo, a real Catholic dynamo, as you say. An incredible conversion story. Also, your friend Cheryl Deco's book, it's called, let's see, The Jewish Roots of Our Faith, right?
Yes, that's a great book.
We're giving away some of those on Monday, so we hope that our listeners will be listening for that. And there's some wonderful stories about some of the women, especially in the Old Testament, that are incredible examples to women today.
One of my favorites is Esther.
Yes, and Ruth.
And Ruth. Esther, you know, for such a time as this. And then Ruth, of course, yes, a beautiful, beautiful story in the Old Testament. Brian, thanks. And please pray for us. And gosh, it'll be a lot of fun. And I look forward to seeing you guys and gals, Annie Banani, and of course, Matt and you and the whole gang from Sacred Heart. I know it's not that far away in July.
It's the 2nd of July. Yeah. At the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, you're coming here along with your buddies Al Cresta, Dr. Ray Garendi, and then Father Mitch Pacwa will join us from EWTN. A big day of celebration. We want folks to visit sunrisemorningshow.com and register for a seat there to get a reservation. So we hope that a lot of folks will come to hear you and our other EWTN favorites.
All right. Well, thank you, my friend. You have a blessed weekend and look forward to the program next week.
All right. We'll talk to you Monday morning, okay?
Okay. Thanks. God bless.
All right. You too.
Brian Patrick, of course, with the Sunrise Morning Show. Again, I do want to mention that we're going to be down in the Cincinnati area for the 10-year anniversary of Sacred Heart Radio, and as he said, you can find that out on their website. I also want to say thanks for all the emails and the calls yesterday. We could not get to all your calls on this topic of modesty and chastity, which we discussed with chastity and pro-life speaker Jen Giroux. In light of some articles that have been out there in the public. In the secular arena, where women such as feminists, like Jennifer Moses, are commenting on what's happening to women in terms of their over-sexualization and objectification, especially the impact this is having on young girls, and received some beautiful emails. And so I think I may just shorten the news a bit, and I want to share this with you because it's very important to share how Catholic Radio is touching our listeners. And this is from Gina. I don't know where Gina is from, but she wrote me yesterday after our program. And she says, I listen to your show on the way to the office. Most of the time, unfortunately, I arrive at work halfway through, and I don't get to listen to the whole show, but I would like to comment about what seems to be the topic of discussion this week. Why do we let them dress like that? I'm 45 years old, married to my high school sweetheart for 24 years, and mother of three, two are in college, and one is a freshman in high school. I was born Catholic, but my parents never took my brother and I to Mass. I did receive all the sacraments. My kids have also received their sacraments, but sadly, my husband and I were not practicing Catholics all those years the kids were growing up. About a year ago, my husband and I started attending Mass. Within 2 weeks, all three kids decided to tag along. Considering the ages of the kids, isn't that wonderful? When I was in school, I always felt like the outsider. It seemed like all the girls were dressing inappropriately, doing things with boys they weren't supposed to be doing, and they seemed to be latching on to this new feminism equality thing. You know, I just never could buy into it. To me, I didn't see women as inferior to men. I guess I always saw women as unique in our own way and men unique in their own way. I remember saying to myself, this feminism thing is just not a good thing. I wasn't unhappy, though I just knew what I felt, and I was very comfortable with that. I've been out in the working world my whole adult life, and I've encountered situations where I still feel like I'm an outsider. I've encountered women thinking men are no good, that they are better than men, and I've seen people stuck in unhappy marriages. I was always told that I wouldn't understand because I was quote-unquote lucky to have a good husband and a good marriage. Lucky, I'm starting to think maybe my values and thoughts were in the right place. Fast forward to today, and I see my girls struggle with being outsiders. They just don't see the need for girls of today to act the way they do, and these girls look at my daughters like they are the ones who just don't get it. I do also believe that feminism has taken away men's manhood. It has been a slow process, but I see a lot of boys and young men of today where they just don't know how to act like a man. They don't seem to know their place in society. My son has learned from his father, and sometimes those values he learned do not go over well with his friends. It's so refreshing to hear this topic of discussion and to learn that this is what the Catholic Church has been teaching all along. Amen, Gina. The message coming from your show seems to be what I have been feeling my whole life. It is so nice to know that someone like the author of this article has finally let the cat out of the bag. And she's talking, of course, about the article from Jennifer Moses in her op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. She says, I know this is a long email. It may not seem necessary to give you all of my family and spiritual background, but I share it for a reason. How blessed am I that God watched over me when I was a kid and through adulthood, even when I wasn't paying any attention to him. He guided my husband and me in raising our kids to having these morals, values, and thoughts that don't seem to go along with mainstream society. Your show and EWTN has been a wonderful blessing in my life. I'm discovering Catholicism for the first time, and I just can't get enough. I know how you feel. I've been back in the church for years, as I told Gina in my response, and I still can't get enough. Another email, this one was sent to Jen Giroux, who we interviewed yesterday, and Jen sent them along to me, and this one would like to remain anonymous. I was raised in a contraceptive home. My folks are in their mid-60s. I'd say that since 2006, God's been providing me graces for healing from being raised in a contraceptive home. I refer to myself as a contraceptive survivor since my folks contracepted. That whole pro-contraceptive culture then enters into the home. Selfishness instead of self-gift just seemed to permeate everything. Isn't that interesting? Another woman writes, 2 years ago, I had surgery to help me lose weight. At that time, I asked for God's help and told him I would start wearing dresses and skirts to Mass once I could fit back into them. I kept my word. Then I found I was going to daily Mass or communion, which then led me to wearing dresses and skirts all the time. I love it. I do feel people treat you differently when you are dressed nicely. I'll do my best to always be modest, and if something is low cut, I cover up. She says, great show, and the message is not just for girls. And this is from a woman from St. Louis. So great stuff. Thanks for the feedback. Keep it coming. And this is obviously a topic that has hit a nerve, and we will be discussing it more. So appreciate your feedback, and sorry we couldn't get to all your calls yesterday, but we will be discussing this topic again. Right now we're going to do a short version of the news. It's 11 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Arizona's Governor Jim Breuer has signed legislation to ban abortions based on race or sex of the unborn child or based on the race of a parent. The governor and her spokesman saying that they believe society has a responsibility to protect its most vulnerable, the unborn. And, of course, he said the bill is consistent with her pro-life track record. He said the law makes it a Class 3 felony knowingly to perform or finance an abortion sought on the grounds of sex or race, with a maximum punishment of 3.5 years in prison. The U.S. experienced a dramatic 4% plunging birth rate from 2007 to 2009. A newly released report from the National Center for Health Statistics shows the rate was 66.7 births for every 1,000 women ages 15 to 44. It is the most significant drop for any two-year time frame since the mid-70s. In addition, preliminary figures show birth rates remaining in decline during the first half of 2010. The 7th Annual Catholic Prayer Breakfast taking place April 26 and 27 to thank God for his blessings and reaffirm Catholics in their faith, and also to celebrate the upcoming May 1st beatification of John Paul II. Bishop William Laurie of Bridgeport, Connecticut, who's also the Supreme Chaplain of the Knights of Columbus, will be the keynote speaker, and they'll be discussing the Holy Father's role in defining religious freedom. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich will also speak about his own conversion to the Catholic faith, all this taking place in Washington, D.C., starting with the Mass on the 26th at 5:15 at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, and then a breakfast the following morning. If you'd like more information, you can go to this website, CatholicPrayerBreakfast.com. And Arizona Republican Senator John McCain says the U.S. should not be handling command and control of the Libya military operation over to NATO, McCain calling it a mistake.
Together with our allies, we must be doing what is necessary, not as little as possible.
And McCain, the top Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee, supporting President Obama's decision to commit the military to the United Nations authorized no-fly zone over Libya. And you know what? It may be spring on the calendar, but winter is not quite finished with the eastern seaboard anyway. A nor'easter expected to produce several inches of snowfall across upstate New York and western and northern New England today through early tomorrow. A cold front that opened the storm door to chilled air for the northeast is the same front that produced massive thunderstorms, hail, and 90-mile-per-hour winds in Florida Wednesday and Thursday. The storm, by the way, could bring up to 14 inches of new snow to New Hampshire and parts of Maine. A 10-inch thick blanket of white stuff could fall on the Pennsylvania Poconos, New York Catskills, and parts of Massachusetts and Connecticut. 14 minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection. It's April 1st, 2011. Teresa Tomeo with you. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Up next, Sister Ann Shields. Stay tuned.
This program underwritten by
Film District presents Soul Surfer, the true story of teen surfer Bethany Hamilton, who lost her arm in a shark attack and through the love of her family, determination and faith, discovered her true purpose in life and became a champion again. Directed by Sean McNamara and starring Anna Sophia Robb, Helen Hunt, Carrie Underwood, and Dennis Quaid. Soul Surfer, in theaters April 8th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
The Western Wall, birthplace of Mary, floating in the Dead Sea, camel rides, me, Steve Ray, sharing along the way, pray in the upper room. Go to AveMariaRadio.net.
Click on the Pilgrimage 2011 link and look for the tours coming up in February and June. Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. The Life Process Model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
The Alexian Brothers, a Catholic religious order of men, look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian Brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Minutes past the hour. Teresa Tomeo with you on Catholic Connection, syndicated through the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Good to be with you every day. Thanks be to God. Sister Ann Shields is in the house, as we say, and she is with Renewal Ministries. And also, of course, you hear her on Ave Maria and on EWTN, Food for the Journey. She's a well-known author, retreat leader, speaker, and all-around great gal. Good morning, Sister.
Well, good morning, Teresa. That's the first time I ever got that kind of an introduction.
Well, why not? You are that and so much more.
Well, let's move on.
Okay. You're all that in a bag of chips, as my friend says. Listen, exciting stuff. We've got the big Lift Jesus Higher rally next weekend, right?
Yes, we do. In Toronto, Ontario, the Lift Jesus Higher rally. I believe it's the 19th event that we've done there in Toronto. And it's a marvelous conference. We normally get about 5,000 adults, and then we get another 1,500 to 2,000 youth. And it's at the Metro Toronto Convention Center, the North Building, and it's next Saturday, April 9th, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Adult tickets are $18. Youth tickets, that's ages 12 to 20, are $9. And Teresa, I am here because I want to say to all of those who might be listening, if there's any way you could come to Toronto next Saturday from 9 in the morning till 6 in the evening, I want to encourage you to do it. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The theme for the conference is Made for More. We're made for more. We're made for much more than where we are right now in our lives. And, you know, without going into detail, I think we all know that things are getting much darker out there in the world. The battles are getting more fierce. And we need to be equipped, not just with the information that we need, but we need to be equipped in heart and mind and spirit to really be disciples of the Lord during this very difficult time. And I think it's, I'll be so bold as to say, I think it's a marvelous opportunity of grace for all of Canada, and anyone from the U.S. who can come, we really urge you to do it. It's called the Lift Jesus Higher Rally. It's a day where we're going to prepare our hearts for Holy Week as well, that as we listen to these talks, may God give us grace to change our hearts, to really convert us. All of us need deeper conversion, mm-hmm. to be converted more to Him. So that's next Saturday, April 9th, 9 to 6 p.m. at the Metro Toronto Convention Center in Toronto, Ontario.
There's a website, right?
There certainly is a website, but I also want to give a couple of phone numbers here.
Okay.
Call 416-251-4255 for tickets. 416-251-4255. Or just Google Lift Jesus Higher Rally Toronto, and you'll get all the information you need. But that number once more, 416-251-4255. Do you know, Teresa, this is the largest Catholic, regular Catholic gathering in all of Canada.
Wow.
And I really want to encourage us to participate. All of you who might be listening today, if you can come, please come. If you can't come, please pray. Pray that God's grace would work on all our hearts, those of us who are speaking as well as those of us who are listening. Deacon Alex Jones from Detroit mm-hmm. will be giving the first talk, and he's going to be speaking about exactly what I said earlier. We're made for more. And then the second talk I will be giving, and this is a talk where we talk about the price and the glory. The price of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and the glory that comes. And we need that vision. We need perspective, because the world, as you and I were talking before, Teresa, the world just tries to evangelize us to its values and priorities, which are antithetical to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get so inundated that while we're trying to live Christian Catholic lives, nevertheless, our minds are so dulled. Our senses experience a kind of weight. We don't have any energy to really pursue the things of God. So I want to talk about the price, and I want to talk about the glory of responding to the Lord, embracing His call.
You had a great quote last week when you were on with us for the local hour and talking about this event, and it was from the Baltimore Catechism.
Yes, the old Baltimore Catechism. I go back to it all the time, that sin darkens the intellect and weakens the will. And that's exactly what happens, and that's exactly what happens to all of us, so that we can no longer clearly see or desire all that God has for us. But that can be taken away. We're going mm-hmm. to have a day of proclamation of the gospel. Father Scott McCaig, who is the superior of the Companions of the Cross in Ottawa, is going to be giving a talk in the afternoon, the call to mission, the call to go out now with what we've gained. And then Archbishop Thomas Collins will be the main celebrant at the liturgy, which will close the day. We have times for confession. We will have Eucharistic procession and adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's a day will prepare our hearts for Holy Week. So I just want to urge you all, if you can come, please come.
Yeah, it was an honor to be part of the speakers lineup last year. Really enjoyed it. And, you know, I thought it was beautiful because there were so many people, not just from Canada, but from across the northern parts of the U.S. that were there.
Yes, yes. And that's been our experience. It's certainly a Canadian audience, but there are a number of people coming from the U.S., and it's great blessing.
You know, we were talking also during the break, Sister, in preparation for the interview, this beautiful story and talking about we're made for more. And I said, this is such a beautiful story of humility and submitting to the will of God and not our own will. There's a story on Catholic News Agency this morning about a woman. It says, a Vatican decree reconciles woman who sought priestly ordination. And she's a former advocate of women's ordination. She later re-announced her attempt to be ordained as a deacon and declared her adherence to church teaching. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes,
and, you know,
it is.
She said she was going through this process, this alleged process, obviously, which wasn't approved by the church. And she's a PhD, by the way, in theological studies. And she basically said that she started to go after she, quote unquote, I guess, went through the first steps of ordination. She started to go to these different events. And she just knew within, she said, a couple of weeks. It says, I withdrew from the program within 2 weeks of the ceremony because I realized I had made a mistake in studying for the priesthood.
That's a work of grace.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
So clearly a sovereign work of grace because, Teresa, God so loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is even a chink in our armor, you know, our armor of independence and my personal freedom and all that kind of thing that puts up walls in front of us, because there is only one who can make us free. There is only one Jesus Christ who is the way and the truth and the life. And when we submit to him and to his teaching, we're not oppressed, we're set free.
Free.
And
right.
That's what, it's always the paradox of the gospel. You die in order to live, you give away in order to receive, you die to have life. This is the call of the gospel. And this woman that you just gave us an example of her life, there's a clear act of sovereign grace,
mm-hmm.
and she responded to it.
And she said that she was reading the documents from the church, including John Paul II's Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, and she said, you know what, this is truth. But to be able to admit that publicly,
yes.
though,
see,
is another huge step.
That's right, and it flies in the face of the enemy, who
right.
seeks to inflate our own pride and our own arrogance until we're turned away from God. And she was able, by the grace of God and by humility, as you say, Teresa, her humility, the definition of humility is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear the truth and you're honestly able to embrace it instead of just protecting your own ideas or your own reputation, then God genuinely does set us free.
And he's going to do great things, I am sure, with this woman. And,
yes,
and
he is.
I think maybe she can even change hearts of others who are hanging on to this, thinking that they need to be priests or deacons. And I want to give out the phone number again. We only have a minute left. I want to close with this great quote, given the theme for your conference next weekend, which is Made for More. The phone number is 416-251-4255. For tickets, 416-251-4255. And well, I'm thinking, and the website, do you have a direct website? Or
just Google Lift Jesus Higher Rally Toronto.
Okay.
Lift Jesus Higher Rally Toronto, and you'll get all the information.
Well, I know you've probably heard this because you're so well-read, but I'm going to share this anyway because I have this quote on my bulletin board in my studio because I just love it. It reminds me that we are made for more. And from the late Teresa of Avila, the great doctor of the church, she says, we are tempted to stay mired in our failures, to limit our lives to what we can imagine, to the security of what we are comfortable with. Left to ourselves, we strike a bargain with our faults and our failings, believing them to be our destiny.
Amen.
But there is within our limitations, our faults and our failures, a divinely conceived creature waiting to be released, waiting to break through to a level of life only God can conceive.
Teresa, that's marvelous. That's exactly what we're praying the grace for on the Lift Jesus Higher Rally, that it will break us out of the strongholds, that it will bring us up out of the mud and out of the sense of complacency that Teresa of Avila so well described there.
Yeah, and you have people have no idea what God can and will do. Just take a step toward him.
Because God wants Canada free. God wants Canada fully under the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think the rally is going to be one large step in that direction.
Well, Canada's very hungry for it. I told you I was just there last weekend and had a wonderful experience. And we had a girls' night out on Friday night featuring the All Things Girls books. They sold out. They had a waiting list.
That's wonderful.
And then Saturday had a really good turnout for their parent-teacher conference. So I think there many people actually had been to the rally the year before and just loved it. So thanks, sister.
You're very welcome. Hope to see you in Toronto. Please come up and say hello if you come.
All right, and the number again is 416-251-4255. Thanks, Sister Ann. God bless. Sister Ann Shields, of course, up next. We're going to talk about health care and what it means to Catholics as individuals and also our Catholic hospitals. Stay tuned.
Ave Maria is a new university in the Catholic tradition aspiring under grace to become a vital center of the new springtime of culture anticipated by John Paul II for this millennium. Ave Maria University announces two new majors to help our students prepare to engage the culture, business and psychology. Our business program will prepare students to become leaders in the business community. We will partner with businesses to bring CEOs and other high-level executives to campus to share their insight and experience. Our psychology program provides an outstanding foundation for students interested in pursuing graduate studies or scientific research. Psychology is also an invaluable major for students interested in becoming counselors and social workers. Come to beautiful Southwest Florida to live, learn, and love our faith. Ave Maria University offers an exceptional Catholic education at an amazing value. Abundant scholarships are available and transfer students are welcome. Visit us at avemaria.edu.
Weingartz, Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
When you want something done right, you go to the experts. With power equipment, you want to go to the guys who know what they're talking about, not the ones wearing the aprons. The experts at Weingartz have you covered from sales to service with people that will help you pick the right equipment for the job and maintain it. Whether you're looking for mowers, tractors, chainsaws, blowers, or generators, Weingartz has a great selection to choose from. Their massive inventory includes all the top quality brands you know and some that you don't. And Weingartz provides world-class service and parts support to keep your equipment running at its best. From at-home delivery and demonstration to our 7-year enhanced protection plan, Weingartz delivers the kind of service you can't get anywhere else. When you're ready to talk to a real expert, stop by our locations in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and our newest location in Ann Arbor.
Weingartz, Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's 31 minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning, April 1st, 2011. So appreciate your listenership and your support. As Mother Angelica and Father Mitch always say, keep us between your gas and electric bills. And just a reminder that next week, Ave Maria, which produces this program, Catholic Connection, will be having our membership drive, our spring membership drive. So I'll be checking in with you from time to time. We'll have best ofs. We'll have some special interviews. So, of course, it'll still be an interesting show that you are expecting and that we try to provide every single day. But, again, ask for your prayers. And if you'd like to listen and get a hoot out of the fundraiser, because it is a lot of fun, we do have a great time when we're in studio there, you can go online at AveMariaRadio.net. I'm very glad to have Leonard J. Nelson back on with me. He was on right after his book came out, Diagnosis Critical, The Urgent Threats Confronting Catholic Healthcare. It's published by Our Sunday Visitor. We'll tell you how to get the book as we continue with the interview. Leonard is actually in Michigan this morning to speak at the Christus Medicus conference, which is being held to really help healthcare professionals, Catholics who care for loved ones at home, and people really with any interest in this topic of threats to our Catholic way of life and what's going on with the Catholic hospitals, to come to this conference that's taking place in Livonia, Michigan, suburban Detroit. Leonard, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me on the show.
Give us a little bit of your background in terms of your knowledge, your extensive knowledge on this issue.
Well, I've been in healthcare for a number of years in the sense I've been an academic. I'm a law professor, and I have an appointment at a law school, but I also have an appointment at a university that has a medical center. And years ago, I did represent a Catholic healthcare system when I was in private practice. So this has been an area of interest to me for years, and I've taught healthcare law courses and focused on this area as kind of my specialty for 20-some years.
Now, looking at with your background, I'm sure you probably... Did you say to yourself at some point years ago, looking the way things are going in this country and now to the situation we're at right now, that you saw it coming, or don't say I told you so, but I told you so type of thing? Because you must have had some inkling with your background.
Oh, yeah, I saw it coming.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And when I started writing the book, late 1990s, I was doing smaller articles and pieces kind of leading up to it. I didn't know I was going to do a book at that time, but I had some ideas about and some current concerns about what was happening to Catholic health care and the cultural shift that was going on that I thought really was a threat to continued existence of identifiably distinctive Catholic health care in the United States.
So are we any better off now, given that we did have some success? And I'm not just talking about parties. I mean, I'm not even limiting this to parties. I'm talking about in terms of electing people that are more in line with Catholic thinking. What happened in November? Where do we go from here? Do you think we're better off than we were last year?
Well, yeah, marginally better off. I mean, obviously, there's still the pro-choice people have a lot of power still in Washington, and so we're limited as to what we can do. You know, we do have a lot of good pro-life people in Congress now, but as you know, the president is not pro-life. The Senate is not fairly antagonistic to any significant pro-life legislation. The House looks pretty good, but you know, it's a stalemate at this point. So we can prevent maybe further erosion of protection for Catholic health care providers, but I don't know that we're going to be able to make much movement in terms of greater protection at this point.
I'm still stunned at the way the whole thing went down. In this country, we're supposed to be a democratic republic, and that just still, I think about the way the whole situation evolved and literally was forced down our throats. It still just boggles the mind.
Yeah, it was really interesting because it's more like a parliamentary government.
Right.
It was like something that might have happened to England and Canada, the way it was rammed through on party line, party discipline. But they paid for it at the next election. I mean, a lot of people that voted for that lost their seats, and that's the way parliamentary democracy works.
Let's look at a situation that I thought was very courageous. Wonderful Bishop Olmsted in Phoenix, Arizona, who really tried for several years to work with the Catholic hospital in his diocese, talking with administrators, investigating, getting the information, gathering all the information, and pleading with them, and then finally said, "You cannot call yourselves Catholic anymore." Are we going to be seeing more of that, do you think?
I think we will see some more. Of course, it's up to individual bishops in terms of how far they want to push it. But I think we do have a situation now where you've had a lot of these Catholic health care systems have gotten used to not having any oversight. Some bishops now, I think, are going to get more involved. I think they're alerted to the fact that there's things going on in these hospitals that are violations of the ethical and religious directives. So I think some of them are starting to have dialogues and looking more closely at what's going on, and that could lead to some more situations like we saw in Phoenix, which in my mind would be a good thing. I think there needs to be more involvement by the bishop, more oversight, more accountability.
He has to be a strong bishop, though, because
right.
He was really, I mean, he's
You're
amazing,
take a
first
lot of
all,
flack.
But he's going to take a lot of flack, but God bless him for, you know, he's such an incredible gentleman.
He's
very heroic. But at the same time, I mean, he said, you know what, I tried. It's not like he went in there when he was first brought to the diocese and said, "You're done." He sat down with the people and talked
right.
to them.
He acted very prudently. I mean, he wasn't looking for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But when he found out what was going on, he knew he had to do something about it.
Well, what's the average lay Catholic to do about this? The folks listening, because it's sometimes you look at this and it's such a big issue. It's so, you know, kind of like overbearing or think, gosh, I'm just one person. I can't make a difference. What does it mean to the average Catholic out there in a listening audience, Leonard?
Well, I think it affects Catholic life in the United States. If you have Catholic institutions that aren't living up to their obligations, aren't going along and following the teaching of the Church, it has an effect on Catholic life. For one thing, it creates scandal. It undermines teachings about abortion, contraception, sterilization. That has an effect ultimately on family life. So it's important, I think, Catholics be aware of what's going on in their home communities and be vigilant and take an active role.
Can we turn this thing around, do you think?
I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough. I think you're going to see probably there will be a number of Catholic hospitals that if the Bush bishops decide to say, well, look, you're going to have some accountability and you're going to have to follow these teachings, particularly on sterilization, I think is a real one that's going to be a real sticking point. Some Catholic hospitals are going to say, well, we're just not going to do that. Some already have. And then what they're going to do, unfortunately, the bishop says, well, I'm not going to allow you to call yourself Catholic. They're going to say, well, okay, we're going to go our own way, but we're still going to call ourselves Catholic. And we're going to interpret the ERDs the way we want to interpret it. And that's basically what happened in Phoenix.
So what does that mean then? I mean,
to add to the confusion for people.
So, with all the good efforts of Bishop Olmsted, what does it mean in the end?
Well, yeah, it means, well, he says he does not recognize them as a Catholic institution. They're going to persist in representing themselves as Catholic.
Well, I think it means something for the bishop to do this because the bishop has to take a stand. But I'm saying in the fallout from this, will it hurt the hospital?
Anyway? I don't know. I mean, their calculation is it won't. They think in terms of their finances. I believe they're going to be better off as a result of not going along with the bishop's requests. We'll see. I mean, eventually, one would hope that people would recognize that these institutions aren't following the church's teaching, and that would have some consequence. At least faithful Catholics would say, well, you know, maybe we ought not to go to that facility. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what will happen, honestly.
Well, let's put out a phone number because this is a very, I think, a hot topic and one of those hot-button issues, and then people may have a lot of questions about it, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We're speaking with Leonard Nelson, who's the author of the book Diagnosis Critical, The Urgent Threats Confronting Catholic Healthcare, published by Our Sunday Visitor in 2009. And, of course, still extremely timely topic with everything that's going on with healthcare in our country. And Leonard is going to be speaking this weekend at the Christus Medicus Foundation Conference, which is taking place in suburban Detroit, a regional conference addressing these issues with healthcare professionals. And we also have a Richard Dorf, who's going to be speaking. He was actually on my show yesterday in the local hour. He's going to be speaking about the conscience rights of Catholic healthcare workers. Now, we were discussing this in the break, Leonard, leading up to the interview in the live portion of our program, that you're saying that things that Catholics may have to look at alternatives in terms of different types of facilities?
At this Christus Medicus conference is the possibility of moving into other areas. It's becoming increasingly difficult to operate acute care hospitals that are faithful to Catholic teaching. And so and with increasing governmental oversight and intrusion into affairs of these Catholic hospitals, it's time to start thinking about alternatives. And that may be a network of primary care clinics that would cater to family and faithfully follow Catholic teaching. It might mean Catholic health plans. In fact, there's some legislation in Congress that would create an exemption from the Affordable Care Act to allow for formation of health plans that would faithfully follow Catholic teaching.
Wouldn't that cost a lot of money, though, to start up your own or a different facility?
Well, for small primary care clinics, if we could divert some of the resources that are already being used in the Catholic healthcare sector to that purpose, that's one possibility. It might be, you know, if you have enough of a population of Catholics who would want to afford themselves of that, it might be possible financially to make it by setting up primary care clinics in an area and having a network. That may be financially possible. There already are some health plans out there that faithfully follow Catholic teaching, and they were grandfathered in by the Affordable Care Act. So those continue to exist, and they are in existence in some parts of the country. So it's possible. You know, I think obviously you're not going to be able to get government funding for it for the most part, but it would have to be funded in the private sector.
Well, this whole thing about health care, you mentioned abortion, you mentioned sterilizations. The other big push, too, is for the whole contraceptive thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second. How bad is that in terms of the pressure?
Well, the pressure is immense there. The provider conscience regulations the Bush administration had promulgated were rescinded here by the Obama administration last month. And one of the reasons they rescinded it is because it looked like there was some... They claimed that there was some protection afforded to people who have moral objections to contraception. And so they didn't want to provide protection, conscience protection, to people who had moral objections to contraception. They were willing to provide some conscience protection for people who objected to abortion, but not contraception. So, yeah, that contraception in Catholic hospitals, it's there. I mean, the hospital office buildings adjoining these facilities where the physicians practice, they freely dispense contraceptives. And so that's already present to a large extent. But, yeah, there's not really much in the way of conscience protection there.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's 9:44 on the East Coast, just 6:44, of course, on the West Coast, 877-573-7825. Speaking with Leonard Nelson about the healthcare situation. He's the author of the book Diagnosis Critical, The Urgent Threats Confronting Catholic Healthcare, the book published by Our Sunday Visitor. Again, if you have a question, 877-573-7825. That's toll-free, 877-573-7825. We'll be right back on an April 1st Friday morning edition of Catholic Connection.
I'm the grateful mother of a second grade student at Spiritus Sanctus Academy. I'm thankful because our school is the kind of school that can only be described as a rare treasure. If you want to find a private Catholic K-8 school with a strong academic program centered on Christ and a love for our faith, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and our stellar faculty invite you to come and see our beautiful Plymouth or Ann Arbor school. Join us for daily Mass or visit our website at spiritussanctus.org.
During this recession, many investors are afraid to invest in stocks or bonds. It may actually be a good time to invest since prices are now low. At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, we believe our professional investment experts have positioned the portfolios to take advantage of the economic and market recovery we expect over the next few years. Now may be an opportune time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more about the pro-life and pro-family Ave Maria Mutual Funds, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA to receive a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This program underwritten by...
Film District presents Soul Surfer, the true story of teen surfer Bethany Hamilton, who lost her arm in a shark attack and through the love of her family, determination and faith, discovered her true purpose in life and became a champion again. Directed by Sean McNamara and starring Anna Sophia Robb, Helen Hunt, Carrie Underwood, and Dennis Quaid. Soul Surfer, in theaters April 8th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
The Christus Medicus Foundation is a nonprofit foundation dedicated to the active and ecumenical promotion of Christ-centered healthcare and health caring. And you can find out more about them at ChristusMedicus.com. They're having a big conference in Michigan this weekend. One of the speakers is on the phone with us, Leonard Nelson, who has written a book about healthcare and is an expert in that field and has actually represented different Catholic healthcare facilities over the years in his practice as an expert in law as well. Let's go to the phones, 877-573-7825. Kathy on line one calling from California. Good morning.
Hi, Teresa and Leonard. I was thinking of the contraceptives. They've recently figured out they're abortifacients, so I would think that would fall under abortion. Mm-hmm. But also I gave a copy of Diagnosis Critical to my doctor, who is Jewish, but he does run a hospital, and I can never imagine him taking the life of a child in abortion. So,
did he have a good response to the book?
You know what? I haven't talked to him about it yet, but like I said, you know, he would never. I have to ask his opinion. I'll get back to you on that.
Good. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
Certainly, he took it with great. You know, he was very interested in it. He read the back cover, you know, and about what it was about, and was very interested.
Yeah, it's interesting. There are some Catholics who reacted pretty negatively to the book, and kind of the usual suspects. But, yeah, I found people from other religious backgrounds. I work with Baptists a lot, and some of them read it and have been very positive. So,
Yeah, it's like this older, even my mom, you know, when I talk to her about what's going on in the church today, it's like she looks at me like, why are you so upset and so zealous? And
that's right.
It's like, don't you know what's going on?
Yeah. People don't want to deal with it, a lot of older Catholics, I think that's true,
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go over to Boston, Massachusetts, where Terry is calling online, too. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Teresa. I'm a nurse practitioner in an emergency room in a non-Catholic hospital. And I know our hospital doesn't do abortions, but how would I know if other, you know, issues were going on in my hospital, such as euthanasia or end-of-life? You know, I don't prescribe contraception myself at the hospital, the morning after pill, that kind of thing. Another provider will do that if I have a patient. But other issues that have to do with my Catholicism, you know, one of the issues my husband and I are trying to work on is Reiki is constantly advertised to all the providers in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
To take a course, like every 2 months, we get a you know, something on the computer about sign up for this course. And I don't think that the higher ups understand. And the CEO of the hospital is a Catholic man, so I don't think they understand the spiritual significance of Reiki. You know.
So your question is how to look for other things that might be going on. Well, I already
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, I think you're limited as to what you can do there. Of course, the information's confidential, and medical records, there's so much protection now, so there's that aspect. As a Catholic working in a non-Catholic facility, you know, obviously your concern has to be not being involved in anything that's an immoral procedure. You can do that, but in terms of having an overall influence on the policy of the place, you're going to be limited. I mean, it's gratifying that they're not doing abortions. I think that's really important. And it's interesting how many non-Catholic facilities don't really want to do abortions. I find that fairly common.
Now, why is that? I'm just, I mean, I have a general idea, but why do you think it is? Why don't they want to do them?
Well, I think healthcare professionals still have an aversion to abortion.
Well, duh. You know what I mean? So
fact.
Frustrating. It's like, what's the, you know.
I think that's just a natural reaction to it.
Yeah, yeah. And also, aren't abortionists considered on the bottom of the heap?
Yeah, they're the bottom of the food chain.
Yeah,
definitely, yeah.
Terry, thanks for your phone call. Appreciate it. 877-573-7825. So we were chatting during the break, Leonard, about the current situation of health care reform. Are you optimistic at all? What are we looking at, do you think, in the next couple of years?
Well, it's still unfolding. My concern overall is with this vast expansion of government power over health care.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be good for distinctive Catholic health care, because the tendency is going to try to be to force everybody kind of into the same mold. And short term, there's been some concessions to continue to protect Catholic institutions. Longer term, I just don't know. I mean, once you give the government that much power, it's hard to know what's going to happen. It depends on changes in Congress and changes in the administration and the culture. I continue to have concerns about the culture, and law tends to follow culture. So.
Now, in terms of the House, they are saying, and they have been saying, that piece by piece they're going to take this apart. If they can't stop it
right.
in its entirety, are you optimistic at all?
Well, they can maybe affect the funding at this point. I don't, you know, it's going to be difficult. You can, I mean, there's parts of it I don't think are going to work. For example, the Medicaid expansion is going to just drown the states in terms of their additional financial and fiscal obligations that they're going to be confronted with, and I think that part of it is just not going to be workable. There's other parts, too. I mean, the individual mandate, even if it isn't held unconstitutional, it's terribly unpopular. I suspect there's a lot of Democrats who would like to repeal that. But if you repeal that, the way the law's set up, you may have costs really escalate. So, you know, there's some things in there that as it unfolds, I'm not sure it's going to work
mm-hmm.
the way they think it's going to work.
Now, one last question. We only have about 3 minutes left, but you're an attorney, so what are your thoughts in terms of these lawsuits that have been filed by a number of different states? And now I know it's kind of been half and half in terms of the success, but in I think two of the cases that were major cases that were filed, their decisions to basically opt out of this or fight this whole legislation has been supported by the judges, and there's been, I think, another case where the judge ruled against him. But where do you think this is going to go? Is this going to end up in the Supreme Court?
Oh, yeah, I feel it'll end up in the Supreme Court. This is on the constitutionality of the individual mandate.
Right.
And two courts have said it's unconstitutional. One court struck down the whole act, the court in Florida,
mm-hmm.
based on that. I'm pretty sure it's going to end up in the Supreme Court. And it's going to be a close decision there, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I'd guess 5-4, one way or the other. So.
Well, it's just that, we were talking during the break that hopefully we're waking up the sleeping giant, in the Catholic Church. What do we have? Nearly 70 million people who still identify themselves as Catholics in this country. If only they would really stand up for what they claim to believe in, I think we would see a huge difference. So you're speaking today or tomorrow at the conference?
I'm speaking tomorrow.
Okay.
But this is going to be a great conference. If you're here in Michigan and want to come by, just come on by.
Now, my understanding is that they're drawing from around the state, though. They're drawing Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, so that's great.
It's got there's quite a large number of people there, so it's going to be a great conference.
Well, tell us how to get the book, Diagnosis Critical.
Well, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it through OSV directly, our Sunday Visitor. Go on their website. So all the major online vendors have it.
Now, I would imagine that, like anything, that there's so many things that have changed since the book first came out. Are you looking to do maybe a second edition of this, Leonard?
Well, yeah, I could do a little update with the Affordable Care Act. I've been thinking about doing that.
Mm-hmm. And how has the book been received so far?
Well received. Yeah. Some of the establishment in the Catholic Health Association hasn't received it so well. But
really?
That was expected.
I'm shocked and appalled.
Shocked, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sister Carol Keehan didn't like it
too much?
No.
Oh, well. No. Well, we'll continue to pray for them.
Okay.
Listen, thanks. I appreciate it. And thanks for coming to Balmy, Michigan to speak for us this weekend. And what a great conference. And there's great folks that are involved. And actually, Father Jonathan Morris is speaking tonight from Fox News. And he's going to be talking and addressing this whole issue. So that should be a good conference. Lots of big national speakers like yourself and Father Jonathan are coming into town. If you're a medical professional and just want more information on how to get more support for the work that you do in this area, check out the Christus Medicus Foundation and Society. They are based in Michigan, but they do work all over the country, and they're there to help you in your work as a Catholic healthcare worker or provider. And it's simply ChristusMedicus.com. And again, it's ChristusMedicus.com. And if you go to the homepage, they have a general information and also information about their conference as well. So we hope that you check it out. And this will probably be the first of many conferences to address these very important issues. Have a blessed weekend. And again, we have our membership drive next week. Pray for Ave Maria Radio and all the other apostolates having their fundraisers. I'll be checking in with you next week. In the meantime, God love you and make it a good day. We'll see you.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Is financial stress keeping you awake at night? Are you struggling to pay your bills? Are you facing the loss of your home? The law offices of Kasaba Rabo PLC are attorneys who specialize in bankruptcy, short sales, debt settlement without filing for bankruptcy, and foreclosures. Don't wait until it's too late. Give your family the relief they deserve. Call Andrew or Olivia today. They're both devout Catholics, educated in Catholic schools, including Catholic law schools. Kasaba Rabo PLC is a family-owned law firm. And when you work with them, you're part of the family. You'll receive a free personal consultation, and you'll be treated with respect and dignity. Andrew and Olivia will give you honest advice while seeking a way forward financially for you and your family. The Kassab family is a strong supporter of Ave Maria Radio, and you can trust them during these tough financial times to represent you. Call Andrew and Olivia at 1-888-DEBT-1-911. That's 1-888-DEBT-1911. Or go to WDEO.net and click on the advertising link.
The Western Wall, birthplace of Mary, floating in the Dead Sea. Camel rides. Me, Steve Ray, sharing along the way. Pray in the upper room. Go to AveMariaRadio.com.